Good morning. Happy Easter to you. Good to see the house filled and the Lord being celebrated the way we're doing here this morning. The building in here is full, and we have another fireside room of worshipers over here worshiping from live feed of video and audio. And thank you over in the next room too for being here as well. And then our downstairs is full of children, as you saw the stage full a little bit earlier. Thank you so much for the nursery workers in the back and the youth church workers downstairs. It's just a little inside joke that I share with those volunteers. A lot of people think church is over when the preacher says church is over, but church is over when the nursery workers say church is over. And we really, really are thankful for those that volunteer around here. We could not do near what we did. The breakfast we had this morning, how many enjoyed the breakfast that we had here this morning and all the fixings that we had downstairs? We couldn't do that without the deacons helping us the way they did and some other volunteers. Just thank you, thank you, thank you for all that so many do around here. Well, you probably saw that there was a terrible fire in Paris this week, and French President Emmanuel Macron says that France will rebuild Notre Dame in 5 years. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in how many days?" 3 days. And of course, the temple Jesus was talking about was his body. And that's the reason we've come out this morning. We've come out to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the third day. But I would remind you that is not the reason the first followers of Jesus came out to his tomb on Easter morning. They came out with heavy hearts to survey the damage. They came out to sift through those ashes. They came out, the Bible says, to anoint the dead body of the Lord Jesus. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee, the Bible says, they followed that body of Jesus when it was taken down from the cross, and they saw the tomb in which the body of Jesus was laid, and they saw how the body was laid, and they immediately, those women immediately returned and began preparing spices and ointments with which they could respectfully anoint the dead body of their Lord before decay set in. That's why the women were there. They needed to do this quickly, the Bible says, because on the Sabbath day they would be required to rest according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, and this is the first of many great howevers on Easter morning, at early dawn they went to the tomb taking those spices that they had prepared. Now, they rested on the Sabbath according to the law, but just as soon as day broke, as soon as the law allowed, they were up and at them and on their way to where their broken hearts really wanted to be, the tomb of the Lord Jesus. Spices in hand, ready to give the body of the Lord Jesus a respectful end. But when they arrived, and I know our translation this morning says "and," but this is the same Greek word in verse 2 that is translated "but" in verse 1. But when they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, these broken-hearted women who had followed Jesus out of Galilee, they saw how the body of Jesus was taken down from the cross. They saw how the body was laid in the tomb. And they rushed back to their temporary residences in Jerusalem, and they immediately began preparing these spices and ointments with which they intended to respectfully anoint the body of Jesus. On the Sabbath day they rested, according to the commandment, but on the first day of the week, at the crack of dawn, They went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. But when they arrived, they found that great stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Not only that, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Does anyone see a pattern beginning here? While they're there, they're perplexed about this. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, epistome. These two men in clothing that flashed like lightning came suddenly and stood upon them. Where did they come from? Instantly present. Have you ever had someone surprise you with their presence? Come upon you out of nowhere. They're just there and your heart skips a beat. Verse 5 says, and as the women were frightened, but the Greek text very clearly says, but as the women were frightened and bowing down their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but, and there's that same Greek word again, he's risen. Now, am I the only one noticing there's a great big but being thrown around here on Easter morning? Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, and he must be crucified, and on the third day he must rise from the dead. We've been retracing those steps of Jesus that first weekend over the last several weeks. We've seen him in the garden. We've watched him through Pilate and Herod's judgment halls. We've seen him on the cross. This morning, we see him at the empty tomb. We've called our series unnecessary, and by that we did not mean that Jesus' crucifixion or resurrection was unnecessary, but all efforts to stop Jesus from going to that cross, all efforts to stop Jesus from rising from that tomb were unnecessary. Because this was going to happen. God so loved the world that he was going to give his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him would not have to perish but could have eternal life. And Jesus, when the days drew near for him to be taken up in God's plan, he set his face like flint, like Jeff told us last week. He set his face determined to go to Jerusalem and see his Father's plan through. All efforts to detour him from the cross, all efforts, no matter how respectful, to keep him in the tomb, were unnecessary because he wasn't staying. He was rising. And that's what the Easter angels reminded these Easter women of, how all the preparations they had made, respectfully, to anoint the dead body of Jesus, as respectful as all that was, it's totally unnecessary because Jesus was no longer dead. And the women listening to those Easter angels, the Bible says they remembered Jesus' words. That is what Jesus said. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. But, and there's our word again, these women's words seemed to those apostles as an idle tale. And the apostles did not believe them. Twaddle. One Greek scholar translates that Greek word in our text, translated idle tale, translates it as twaddle, balderdash. Great stone being rolled away from the tomb. Angels suddenly coming upon you. Resurrection from the dead. Who's going to believe that? Not these 11 apostles. Twaddle. If you're here this morning and you're trying to show a little respect, we thank you. Maybe you're here for family's sake. all your families gathered together. I thank you. It's beautiful seeing families together on Easter morning. Maybe you're here because a friend invited you, or maybe you're here out of respect for the Christian faith. Not a faith that you've taken into yourself, but you're respectful of someone else's faith. But you're really not buying into all this resurrection bit of Easter morning. You need to understand that you are not alone in that opinion. That's how the apostles felt on the first Easter morning. They did not believe these women and the stories they came back to tell them. Idle talk, nonsense, twaddle. But Peter, and there's our word again, Peter rose. And he ran to the tomb, and stooping in and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Now, folks, I'm not making this up, and excuse my French here, but the Easter story in the Bible is filled with some great big buts. And that's because sometimes things are not what they seem to be. It seemed like Jesus was dead because Jesus was dead. Everyone had seen him die upon the cross. It seemed like the whole Jesus movement was dead. But it seemed like there was nothing left to do but take that body down from the cross as respectfully as possible. And find some empty tomb to put it in. But, the Bible says, it seemed like spices and ointments would have to be quickly prepared and respectfully applied. First chance they got, first light, as soon as the Sabbath rest was over. I got to get to the tomb, anoint the body. But sometimes things are not as they seem, are they? Sometimes things are much, much better. And when it comes to what happened on Easter morning, you can't get any better than this. That's why Easter is such a happy time. Because Jesus rises from the dead. Somberness turns into celebration. And the world is never again the same. I see it every year here at our Good Friday day camp, where about 100 kids, and you saw some of them on stage here, about 100 kids watch the Easter story again. Some of these kids, though, it's for their first time. And some new child who hasn't been acquainted with Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead, some new child starts putting this together as Jesus is suffering, and they begin to sniffle. The whole place becomes deathly quiet. And that's when some child inevitably, I always look for it, it so warms my heart, some child puts their arm around another, and if you listen closely, you'll hear them say, "It's okay. He'll be back. He'll be back." Because they've seen the story before. I love that moment where somberness is turned into celebration. It just doesn't get any better than this. One little girl returned from her church's youth service Easter morning to say, "Mommy, do you know what Jesus said when he rose from the dead?" And Mommy thought for a minute, "No. No, what did Jesus say when he rose from the dead?" And the little girl said, "Ta-da!" Now we laugh, but that is nearly what the Greek text says. Because the little word that I've been focusing in on here this morning is a little two-letter Greek word, delta epsilon, da. Da. And it's most often translated But, nevertheless, however, it's an adversarial conjunction, they call it. It's a word used to connect two different thoughts that are diametrically opposed to each other. In our case this morning, that which was expected to be found on Easter morning with that which was actually found on Easter morning, which was nothing like what was expected to happen. It's like when the magician's assistant steps into the box and the magician locks her in and he pulls down the curtain. And then he throws up the curtain. He unlocks the box and she's gone. Everyone expected her to still be inside the box. And suddenly she appears on the other side of the auditorium. Ta-da! What? This was what we expected. This. That's Easter morning. The women see where the body is laid. They see how it's taken down from the cross. They hustle home to prepare spices. On the Sabbath day they rest, but on the first day of the week, at first crack of dawn, they're up and at them, spices in hand, they're on their way to the tomb, but what they found is not what they expected. They found that great stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find what they expected. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they're perplexed about this, behold, two men flashing like lightning suddenly appear out of nowhere. And as they were frightened and bound their faces to the ground, the men said, "Why are you here seeking the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen." And returning from the tomb, these women told all these things to the leaven and to all the rest. But these words seemed like old wives' tales, total nonsense, twaddle. They did not believe the women, but Peter rose, ran to the tomb, stooping, looked in. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. He went home marveling at what happened, because what happened was the last thing Peter expected to happen. What happened was the last thing these women expected to happen. What happened was the last thing any of them expected to happen. But ta-da! It happened, and Christ was risen from the dead. The best surprise in all the world had just been witnessed. Which leads us to our most important consideration this morning. Sometimes the very last thing expected is the very thing that happens. I know about Murphy's Law, and I know about playing the devil's advocate. But folks, sometimes, God gets involved. And the very last thing that anyone could expect to happen is exactly what happens. Making it absolutely possible that somebody has come in here this morning for who knows what reason, I'm happy you're here. If you've come out of respect for your family or your friends or for this faith, thank you. But while you're here, you just might stumble upon the resurrected Jesus. Even though that is the last thing on earth you expected to happen this morning. Maybe you get to thinking about the empty tomb and wondering, now if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, like the Bible says, all the adversaries of Jesus had to do to nip this new religion in the bud, it was to point to the dead body of Jesus in that still occupied tomb. Why didn't they? Could it be like the Bible says? There was no body left in there for them to point to. Maybe it's not the empty tomb. Maybe for someone here, it's all these eyewitnesses that we're hearing of at Jesus' resurrection. And it's got you thinking, wait a minute, what about all these Easter women who came expecting one thing to happen and found something totally opposite? What about the 11 they told their story to? What about all those who were with the 11 who said they saw the empty tomb? They saw the set aside linens. They saw the rolled away stone. What about these who eventually say they saw the risen Jesus for themselves with their own eyes, and they became eyewitnesses to the Lord's resurrection, and they gave up everything and went traipsing around the world preaching that Jesus was risen from the dead, and they refused to be silent, even at pain of death? Peter himself was crucified upside down in Rome because he refused to recant the fact that he had seen the Lord alive. Why would all these people live those kinds of lies and die those kinds of deaths for a hoax if they knew it was not true? Or maybe you look around at all this morning. Not just this church, not just this crowd, but all around the world. More people in churches than any other day on earth. Where did all this come from? Theologians are now calling this the X factor. The explanation. What is the explanation for all this? What has caused this faith in a risen Jesus to not just survive in the midst of very dangerous political and religious times? But it's caused the Christian faith to thrive until it's encircled the earth, even though government upon government has tried to stamp it out. You may have heard last night, there were three more churches bombed in Sri Lanka. Over 150 worshipers died. Over 500 injured. Those churches will have services again next Sunday. How do you explain that? That this faith cannot be stomped out upon the earth. In New Testament days, it began in a little corner of the world. Some people call it the Middle East. A little piece of Asia. I've been there. A little strip of land 20 miles wide. 90 miles long. That's where it all began. A little tiny corner. And then it quickly spread all through Asia, all around the Mediterranean, all across Africa, then Europe, then the Americas, then Australia and beyond. And these were all places that already had religions of their own. How do you explain the faith in the Lord Jesus? What's the X factor? How do you explain Christianity being what Christianity is right here in Newark, Ohio, on the other side of the globe from where all this began 2,000 years ago? How did it get here? What is the mysterious X factor that explains all this? Might something you thought never possible actually have happened. Now think of the comfort that might give to someone who came in like our Easter women, grieving that they would never see a loved one again. Fresh from the funeral home. What would it mean to think, I wonder if this, which nobody could think could happen, actually happened? Or the person who is now facing their own end, and they're wondering, they're worrying if death might be the end of them, and they come in and they get to thinking, I wonder, might this, which nobody thought could happen, might have been just what really happened? Or the person who feels so chained to their sin that they figure there's no hope left for them. Their life is ruined. There's no hope they could ever break free from their sin. There's no hope they could ever be forgiven. There's no hope they could ever start their life over again. There's certainly no hope that God would give them heaven. When the Bible says there is, the Bible says that's the very reason for which Christ died and rose again. He was delivered over to death for our sins. And he was raised to life for our justification, so that we could be pronounced forgiven. This is where it all begins, with you believing that Christ died on the cross for your sins and was raised from the dead so that you could be pronounced forgiven, to make you right with his Father in heaven. You believe that, and you're ready to become another follower of his. We're ready to baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins and for the gift of his Holy Spirit this very Easter morning. What better Easter could you be given than that? We saw one lady take advantage of that this morning, didn't we? And then, as a committed follower of his, you can roll up your sleeves with ours and you can begin building his kingdom by helping others begin to know about Jesus and what he did for them, so that they can come to believe in him and become followers of his and roll up their sleeves and join both you and us in this cycle all over again. It's what's been happening down through the ages to this very day. And that's why it can happen to you today. Even though that might have been the last thing you expected to happen today. If that's your decision, or if you have questions about that decision, I hope you'll stop at the beginning point on your way out this morning. We've got some people out there who would love to talk to you about beginning a new life with Jesus. And if you're still on the edge of believing all this, which we've admitted at the get-go, even the apostles thought was a bunch of nonsense, let me leave you with one last question. What happened to the spices? That's where our whole story began. That's what was all so important. This great preoccupation with a respectful preparation of a dead body. What happened to those spices? Who knows? Who cares? Because, and I want you to join in with me celebrating this, Jesus had risen. He is risen. Stand with me. Jesus is risen.
He is
And God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that great surprise on that first Easter day. As many times as your son tried to prepare his disciples for his resurrection, they were all taken off guard because that which they expected to happen, that which they were just sure must have happened, wasn't what happened at all. But Jesus had died for our sins, and he had risen for our forgiveness. And we thank you for him, and we pray someone finds him as their Savior this morning too. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people say, amen.